Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. He is isolated in the Colorado area right now, and we appreciate you being on the show and coming out of seclusion. We've also got Chief Ralph Ornelas now. He is still in California. He's actually a former commander with the LA County Sheriff's. I almost said office, but they don't have offices in California. They have departments. So thanks for being on the show as well. So two chiefs today. And you know what? These guys, they get along so well. If they act like maybe there's some, like there's a little rivalry, don't let them fool you or drag you in. They do the shows on Friday on purpose, because they just love each other. It's just like this. I got to pry them apart sometimes. I think that they would just like hug and kiss each other to death at the end of the show. So yeah, it's like that. So look at that. So thanks for being on the show, guys. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors, you know, Gulls, our title sponsor at Gulls.com. And hey, we do have that Gulls gift card code. Don't forget it, guys. Start using it. It is Radio 15. More information about that coming up, but that's your 15% off gift card code from Gulls, Radio 15. Look at Ralph. He's writing it down. We have ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, if you have an agency and you're trying to get guys, Safeguard Recruiting is the way to go, because they're not just going to make representations. You know, they can't keep, you know, they're going to help get you qualified people. But they're also allowing us to stream over 1 million followers right now on social media during this live show. And also twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. So if you want to buy some cool gear like what Dr. Joel Schultz is wearing, or the shirt like I'm wearing, we've got mugs, not like the LASD shirt that Chief Ralph's wearing. I got this mug, but this mug is already outdated. You can see it's got the cool logo on it. It's kind of like blacked out a little bit, you know, but the new mugs are bigger. They're in production right now, and they have a logo on the other side too, because this one only shows up if I drink left-handed. But on the new ones, it won't matter. Ambidextrous, baby. Right, left, logos both sides. Can you imagine that? So, yeah. So if you order a mug, you're going to get the new one. They're already in production right now. And, yeah, we got one of our Secret Service guys ordered one, and he's waiting to get that. He's excited. So check it out. We don't charge anything extra for gear at leoroundtable.com. I pay what you guys pay. We're just trying to get it out there. We don't make a dime. And also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich with formerlawman.com. And finally, Travis Shades with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we've got two main stories. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. This first one, Democrats demand their demands for DHS, Department of Homeland, funding. They're here, but they want to destroy ICE as we know it. So there's a trade-off. You're going to find out exactly what they're asking for behind the scenes and see whether you like it or not. And then we've got another one in the companion article. Minnesota activist Kyle Wagner, he's not having a good day. He's been arrested and charged with threatening ICE agents. And listen to the social media platforms he used in order to do that. Now, before I get to our scheduled update stories, I do want to mention that Chief Ralph sent me a couple of I can't remember if they were Twitter, Instagrams, or whatever, but they were. There's a guy in Long Beach running for mayor that has called on the gangs to take out the ICE guys peacefully. I know the second one you sent me was talking about he's calling for, like, you know, violence or war, or whatever. But I know that the guy is trying to become mayor. He a couple times he said peacefully, but obviously you can't do what he said. You know, enforce ICE out, you know, peacefully. So we will be talking about that. Ralph will be talking about that. We've also got Tennessee Appeals Court says that a school shooter's writings can be made public. Wow. And we've been waiting for this for quite a while. And so, yes, this is all the way from Tennessee, the Covenant school shooting. So we'll look, there's still going to be maybe some court battles going on about this, but we finally have an appeals court saying, you know what? Get it out there. And then we've got some videos. Dallas police released a video of a shooting that injured three people, including an officer and a grandmother. That's an interesting one. We've got another one. Video shows police officer shooting a knife-wounding suspect after two people were stabbed. We've got Colorado authorities. And so that's over in Chief Schultz's neck of the woods. They declined gun charges against the parents of the Evergreen High School shooter. because he got a hold of one of the guns. So that's interesting. NYPD body cam video shows a cop shooting a mentally ill Queens man, charging at him with a knife. And then lastly, Jacksonville police officers fatally shoot a domestic suspect when he pulls out a gun. So we'll get to those as time permits. I will tell you guys that I'm working on a story for next week. I had somebody send it to me. I just didn't have enough time. I have to work to get the story information, but there's something about what's going on in Minneapolis, and the police over there have changed the oath that they take. It's supposed to be alarming what the oath is now. I'm going to get that story for you, hopefully cover that on Monday. So gentlemen, if you guys are ready, let's start with the first main topic. Townhall.com. Democrats' demands for DHS funding are here. They would destroy ICE as we know it. So I'm going to read quickly, as you guys know, I love to, because I'm drinking the Black Rifle coffee. This is the berry, the Freedom Punch, which MVS sent me a brand new case of it. I opened up live the other day on the show. So thank you, MVS, for this. And that's why I'm I have the capability to talk very fast today because of the Black Rifle coffee product here. But the Democrats have revealed their 10 demands, 10 for ICE funding, and they are absolute non-starters for anyone who supports the mass deportation of illegal immigrants. I see Chief Ralph shaking his head already. Hey, they have made clear for weeks, but the Democrats have officially announced their desire to end the use of probable cause administrative warrants. And instead, they want these guys to go to a court in order to get a judicial warrant, a lot more involved. With the mass deportations, it's just impossible. It's going to bottleneck the system. Federal agents would be entirely handicapped by the measure. They would slow deportations to a near stop. And two of the demands, well, that was just the first one. Two of the demands require ICE agents to demask and display their names on their uniforms. And of course, radical leftists have their doxing federal agents. And this is just helping the agents get hurt or killed. And we got a companion story that will talk a little bit more about this. Then Democrats are seeking to restrict officers from conducting operations at what they call sensitive locations, which include medical facilities, schools, childcare, and churches. Two key locations listed by the Democrats, their polling places of all places, polling and courts. Virginia Democrats have already advanced legislation. It ensures that voting booths are essentially sanctuary spaces for illegals, but they're insisting that the illegals aren't voting when they're there. But if they are there, they're protected. I mean, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Courts are also notable because they're trying to say that's a safe place too for them. Due to the policies of sanctuary cities that they don't allow police to cooperate with federal law enforcement on immigration law. And dangerous illegal criminals are routinely released back into the streets at courthouses. We covered a story yesterday where another judge did that, slid them out the back door, even though it's a federal warrant. And federal officers are required to be on location to round them back up, which makes their jobs tougher and dangerous. Included in the demands is a requirement to stop racial profiling, specifically in the practice of officers targeting jobs and locations where a large number of illegals are at. And while the demand is vague to the point of being pretty much meaningless, it would presumably restrict ICE from conducting operations similar to what they did with the mass roundup of 51 Venezuelan gang members in San Antonio, Texas last year. So that would never happen again. And some similar demands would expand oversight of Congress into Homeland Security. It includes extending the training time of officers and instituting a mandatory probationary period for any officer involved in a use of force incident that would essentially limit the number of officers available on the street. Yeah, so you're involved in a use of force, you're gone. Who knows? A week, a month, 2 months. You're out of commission just from a use of force. Democrats, I mean, that isn't, for people who just don't know, it doesn't mean a shooting. It means like you have to put your hands on someone, maybe you have a fight or something, a use of force. I mean, technically, a use of force can be your presence or, you know, handcuffing somebody or identifying yourself. That could technically be a use of force, depending on what the use of force continuum says. Democrats want all evidence to be shared with state and local jurisdictions so that they can prosecute the federal agents. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Democrats also want federal agents to seek consent from state and local officials before they do a mass operation. They want to be privy. They want to know in advance so they can warn people. Wow. They want them to cooperate. That's amazing after what Tim Walz and Mayor Jacob Frey have done in Minnesota, Minneapolis, respectively. They also want a pipeline to sue Homeland Security for any perceived, I love that word, violations of detention standards that have set and have yet to fully express or for Congress to conduct visits to the facility they desire without limitation. Wow. Democrats are also seeking for DHS to implement body cams for all officers, but the Trump administration is already doing this already, including the demands is a prohibition of creating a database on individuals who are participating in First Amendment activities. So agitators, they don't want a database where they can identify these guys. And we got an agitator arrest that just happened. We're covering next. Finally, Democrats would prevent ICE from working as a paramilitary police, which police are, we're paramilitary. It would standardize, that would standardize uniforms away from what paramilitary style and use equipment in line with civilian enforcement. They want to pretty much basically disarm federal agents. And they also want Trump to immediately remove Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. They hate her. As a gesture of good faith, they want him to remove her. If implemented, this list would destroy the Trump administration's ability to conduct even rudimentary deportation operations. Democrats are willing to hold government funding hostage to accomplish that goal. We've got a minute and 15 seconds before we take our first commercial break, guys. Who wants to start us off first on this? I know there's a lot to unpack here, but and I don't know if there's any shocks, but we have almost a tie. Chief Ralph, why don't you start us off?
Well, we all know the reason why is because just to postpone the process, delay the process. I mean, you look at the cities around the country that cooperated, we didn't have issues. And I hope to God that none of these get passed or agree upon. The only one that I think that the administration should have thought ahead of time based on around the country should have inserted the body-worn camera from the beginning with their ICE agents. I think that would have been a smart tactic to document and stuff. But other than that, there's none of that stuff right there I agree with in that letter from Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries to the president. Everything they talk about, sensitive locations, but it's okay for the agitators to go into churches and do what they did, and they don't want to hear about that.
Commercial break, guys. Perfect timing. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas and Dr. Joel Schultz, former police chief. And I know that we were talking about the latest and greatest involving, our federal partners. I know that Chief Ralph was right in the middle of talking about it in that commercial break, kind of snuck up on us, which I apologize for, Chief. So if you don't mind, refresh our users' memory or listeners and viewers on what you were talking about and go ahead and continue, and we'll go from there. We got a little over 7 minutes before our next break.
Well, I'll be brief because I know Joe wants to jump on this also, and I don't blame him. I mean, the 10 items, the only one that I stated before we went to commercial break was the body-worn camera, which I would like to see be implemented. Well,
let me just throw in there for the people that are just tuning in. He mentioned 10 items, but what he's talking about is 10 items that the Democrats are demanding before they fund DHS. So they got 10 requirements, and they're really non-starters for anybody that wants any kind of illegal alien or immigrant enforcement. Chief Ralph.
No, and you're right. I didn't articulate that clearly enough, the fact that these are 10 suggestions from the Democratic Party to the president's office that this is what they have to do. And the only one that I think I agree with the Trump administration put it later on, which should have been from the front on the front part of it. But other than that, to impose these recommendations, if the whole goal is just to postpone deportations, bring people to civil court, I mean, to file complaints on it civilly on ICE agents, telling the local that to notify local agencies before special operations and stuff. Hey, when I had a federal RICO investigation, we went to other cities. We didn't notify anybody. We just did it because we had to protect our officers and the search warrant we were doing. So I think this is really, truly a non-starter for the president. I don't know how he's going to negotiate this. I pray to God that he has all his brain thrust to really address these issues and articulate clearly what the detriment of the country this would be. And look around the country, how many other cities cooperate and had no problems with any of this stuff, only Minneapolis.
Right. Well, I know Chief Schultz is waiting to jump here, and this might give you something else to talk about, Chief. There's two things I want to mention real quick that Chief Ralph touched on. He kind of hinted on one thing. So Gavin Newsom, they just passed a bill which is going to restrict, they're going to be able to prosecute locally, I mean, by, you know, state or locally, federal agents who mask up, basically. And the LAPD police chief and then the LA County Sheriff's Office, where Chief Ralph worked at before he became chief, they have both come out and said, we're not enforcing it. And then almost immediately, and I believe it was Gavin Newsom's office came out and said, you know what? They didn't really touch on that because that's a little embarrassing, but they said, we're going to enforce this civilly through civil court. Which is scary. The other thing I was going to say, I already forgot because I got so wrapped up with this one, but I'll hopefully remember before we end this episode. But Chief Joel.
How much time can I devote to addressing my false memory that I don't even know what I was going to say? But you're the host. You get to do that. I'm going to disagree with you, Ralph. So stand by. I don't think any of this has anything to do with immigration policy. I don't think it has anything to do with protecting immigrants. I don't think it has anything to do with humane treatment of anybody. It is just something to aggravate and to chip away and to reduce the credibility of the Trump administration. It's all anti-Trump. I think all of us here would probably agree. And Ralph, you're my wife's favorite personality on this show. I just want you to know that, just as an aside. I'm second, Chip. You're right there, with the bronze. But it's just all anti-Trump. All of this stuff, everything you see in the news, every policy, every organizational chart, every statute, every regulation, everything could have been done under the Biden administration, and nobody would have said a single thing. It's all about Trump. It's all about Trump. So when we see this posturing in this theater, this is not going to, what's the use of trying to make a rational argument to these people? Because this is theater. They know this is not going to happen. And besides, it's not their job to run the Department of Homeland Security. They have the purse strings and they can hold hostage, I think was the phrase that Chip used. But this is an administrative function. It's an executive function. It's all out of the White House. Has nothing to do with Congress makes the laws and they give the money. But the way that the departments are operated is entirely up to the executive. That's the constitutional truth of this. And trying to throttle these things and circumvent the constitutional pattern that was designed is all political theater. It's absolutely disgusting. And we can talk about the practicalities and impracticalities of these. And I agree with you, Ralph, all of this stuff. And the interesting thing is, and I think Chip pointed out the hypocrisy. Oh, we want polling places to be safe spaces for what? Illegals voting? Come on. What are you? They want you to prove non-citizenship before they place somebody into custody. Are you saying that we are allowed to ask for your papers now? That American citizens are supposed to provide good documentation? The hypocrisy is crazy. And we want body-worn cameras, but we don't dare use any of the intel that can be extracted from that. We don't want to be tracking anybody from the information from that. They can't decide which side of the fence to be on, except it's if Trump says yes, we say no. That's the bottom line.
I'm sorry. You know, he brought up a good point, Ralph, about you. I want to see your documentation, Ralph.
But, you know, I'm going to surprise you, Joel. I agree with everything you said. I agree with you.
Well, takes the fun out of it.
No, so I agree with you. It's a tactic. It's a tactic they're using. You're 100% right. In fact, Larry Elder had a show. He talked about this to a length, about how Obama used everything that Trump is using and silenced completely.
Right.
He deported more people. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but ICE got in 26 shootings when Obama, but the media hit it the whole time. I know we only got 32 seconds, but the thing about it is this, is that I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I was addressing, though, Joe, what the Democrats laid out. And only one thing I agree with, the body-worn cameras, because I know I did it, I implemented it, and it does help our officers.
I remember what I was going to say. DHS is funded through the end of 2027, from what I remember. But anyhow, it may be mute. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers not just tens of thousands of times, but over 250,000 times. And the significant part about that is that they've had absolutely zero injuries. And that's right, you heard me. No injury. So the Glove is actually considered a non-lethal product instead of just being a less lethal. That's amazing. And so they have not only achieved that non-lethal status, and when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief, and Chief Ralph Ornelas from California. We have been talking about the 10 hostage, where they're holding the government hostage for the shutdown, and they've got 10 requirements. I'm talking about the Dems. And they're obviously non-starters for people that want to enforce, you know, our laws against illegal aliens that have broken the law by coming into the country. Just before the break, I remembered that a point, you know, with all this defunding essentially of ICE, it's been out in print that the funding actually exists through 2027 for DHS. So I don't know how much of, well, I almost said, I don't know how much of this is theater, but then I stopped myself because Chief Schultz just covered that, you know, so I think that just backs up what Chief Schultz has been saying. You know, let me go ahead and jump on, if you guys don't mind, to this companion article. We're still talking about the same thing, but CBSNews.com, Minnesota activist Kyle Wagner arrested and charged with threatening ICE agents. Oh, this is making me smile. So we're in Washington here. A Minnesota activist was arrested on Thursday, charged with threatening to assault and kill ICE. And this is according to the Justice Department. Now, prosecutors allege that Kyle Wagner, 37 years old, shared comments and videos to Facebook and Instagram. So those are the two platforms, which we're also on. He did that last month and encouraged his followers to attack federal immigration officers, who he called the Gestapo, and he called them murderers. He's expected to make his initial appearance in federal court on Thursday. Federal court. Ouch. That's going to cost you some money. Now, photos taken Thursday appear to show Wagner being led out of a residential building in Minneapolis. So that's where he's hanging out, by agents with Homeland Security Investigations, part of the Department of Homeland Security. And he was wearing a sweatshirt that said, "I'm Antifa." And in one now deleted video posted on January 8th, Wagner, our bad guy, allegedly threatened ICE agents, stating, "We're effing coming for you." The following day, he allegedly encouraged followers to harass immigration officers. And he said, quote, "We should cripple them," unquote. Here's another quote. "Anywhere we have an opportunity to get our hands on them, we need to put our hands on them." And this is according to prosecutors. And then his social media profiles appear to have been deleted as of Thursday. He also allegedly, we'll just use the word allegedly to keep the attorneys happy, pushed others to, quote, hunt immigration officers, said his goal was to, quote, unmask and identify, unquote, the agents. And this goes along with the Dems want us to, you know, they don't want face masks. They want names and stuff. And here he is out there saying, hey, you know, we want to hunt these guys down. And we're not done. If anyone thinks that ICE agents need to throw their identities out there so them and their families can be identified, keep listening. We will identify every single one of them, and we will prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law, is what he's saying about ICE. If it has to be done at the barrel of a gun, then let us have a little effing fun. Another quote. And it goes on. Get your effing guns and stop these effing people, is what he said in Facebook, January 24th, allegedly. The Justice Department accused Wagner of publishing the personal information of an ICE supporter that's in Michigan and threatening that individual. And it goes on and on and on. Commentary, gentlemen, Chief Schultz?
Well, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater unless there's a fire. So the First Amendment has some boundaries, just like every other freedom that is insured in the Constitution and in laws. So, one of the interesting components of his threats is not just ICE people, but ICE supporters. That puts every American at risk who thinks that the government is probably doing its job by enforcing the laws of the land. That suddenly makes us part of the great conspiracy, and therefore there's a target on my back and your back and Ralph's back, because I think we all fundamentally support the idea that laws that Congress pass should be enforced. And you connect the idea of masks and not readily identifying oneself. I don't like masked police officers. I don't like cops that aren't able to identify themselves. But this is exactly why. And when you look at the optics of many of the ICE operations, and by the way, if you lose ICE, you lose HSI, and that is such an important investigative agency that has evolved since 9/11. But the everything that an ICE officer wears or a SWAT officer wears has a function. It's not a costume. It's not to look like you're a badass. It has a function. It's place for equipment. It's contingencies. And I've always taught when I was an FTO, just the regular uniform cop, if it's something you're going to need and you don't have time to go back to your trunk or your car to get it, particularly for rural officers, if you're down in a ditch and you need your tourniquet, or if you're out on a bar fight and you need your nightstick, you need to have it with you. That means you've got to have this equipment. You've got the ballistics vest, which is bulky, and you've got the helmets. I think more patrol officers ought to wear helmets. I know a guy, at least one guy, that was severely disabled from a bar fight. He got hit over the head. And I never wore helmets routinely, but I think it makes a good idea. I used to wear knee pads. I used to wear an athletic cup. The older I got, the more protective gear I put. I tell you what, you want to take your nightstick and whack yourself in the crotch just to prove that you can take care of business. It's pretty effective theater out there on the street. Just a little hint for the new guys. I'm glad he got arrested.
Wow.
Yeah. Well done, Joel. You articulated it. And everything I read in that article was like from a Democratic strategic plan he articulated. And that's frightening, because I think they truly push out all this narrative, all this language and stuff. And let's face it, you know, I remember when I had a work in the streets, sometimes we had undercovers from the Sheriff's Department, FBI, DEA working with us, and they did put a mask on. This is going back to 2001 all the way to 2010. We always done it. But now all of a sudden, this is something that they latched on to. And, you know, when we have threats of life against our ICE agents, they have to take an action. And, you know, Joel, you're 100% right about the equipment that they use and they put on the ICE agents, even the SWAT members. I can remember in 2000, I think it was when Barack Obama was the president, was pushing out, they didn't like the fact that LA County Sheriff's LAPD was buying equipment from the military, because they felt we'd becoming too militaristic. But the search warrants we were finding, we were passing this on to our executives, and I was a lieutenant this time, was saying the amount of armament we're doing search warrants, we're finding that these gang members have. We have to elevate our game with equipment, you know, ballistic helmets, different type of ballistic vests. So, you know, Joe, you're 100% right. And I, you know, we have to protect these men and women. And the other thing is this, when they talk about racial profiling, I believe, I could be wrong here, high percentage of ICE agents are Latino. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, it's truly, There's no leadership, I hate to say this, in the Democratic Party right now. They're reaching for straws all over the place.
Well, I love the fact, I mean, well, I love it when people say they don't like profiling when that's what you do. People, and you know, and there's a difference between prejudice and bias. People may not get it. Sometimes they change the definitions, but I'm telling you, their bias there's nothing wrong with bias. It'll help keep you alive, and it's a completely different than prejudice. There may be some common components, but it is different.
I could say this, you could be prejudiced, but the action is discrimination. As long as the action, you don't discriminate. Everybody's got a certain prejudice about something. I don't care who you are, but as long as when you put that uniform on, I used to teach this all the time, you don't discriminate when you have that uniform on. You have to be going right down the line.
But what I mean, where I'm going with the bias thing, you've got a white dude in a predominantly black neighborhood and on a street corner where it's a high drug trafficked area, you're going to have the right to stop that individual. And you can call that profiling if you want. And there's nothing illegal about that. Pretext stops, nothing illegal about pretext stops. So there's a lot of things that people just don't know. There's a lot of inflammatory flag words that people like to use. And people in Congress who maybe are not attorneys or they have no law enforcement background. And the thing that always bothers me, you've got people in Congress that essentially do investigations or they do impeachments and things, but they have no history or background in doing anything like that at all. So you've got Joe Citizen that is totally out of their depth and in the realm, suddenly put in the power to do things that they absolutely have no capability of doing. It just blows my mind.
Can I just say one thing? Because I don't know if you know this, Chip, or Joe probably knows this, but LAPD passed a policy, no more pretextual stops.
Oh, is that right? Why?
Why?
Political move.
Exactly.
So that's less guns off the street and a lot of other things that they're not going to be able to do, unfortunately, but... Well, guys, we got 20 seconds for our next commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna breeze through two updates, then we're going to get to a video component of our story. So stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. Chief Ralph, kill that mic, please. We've got law enforcement personnel. They deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett, the guy that takes bubble baths, and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas from California, Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. He's in Colorado. And look, we've been talking about all kinds of things. I do want to cover a couple update stories now. They're both involving school shootings, but they're not dealing with the same thing. So let me just take them in order. And I'm going to make sure that I'm taking these things in order here. Our very first one, it is AP News. Tennessee Appeals Court says that the school shooter's writings can be made public. We're talking about Covenant school shooting. So the writings of the person who killed 3 9-year-olds and 3 adults at a private Christian elementary school in Nashville can be made available to the public, according to the Tennessee Court of Appeals. They did this ruling. It just happened on Wednesday. The ruling is part of a year-long dispute over public records surrounding the 2023 shooting. They don't think it's necessarily over yet. A lower court ruled that they could not be released, talking about things from like copyright and all kinds of reasoning why. The lower court ruling was in 2024. It sided with the parents, and it says that many of the documents have already been made public either through leaks which I predicted, or the FBI through a separate public records request and a lawsuit. But the full investigative report, which is what people want from the Nashville police, that is actually sealed. So we'll wait and see what happens. In Wednesday's ruling, the appeals court, they append that even if some of the records are protected by copyright law, which is what the lower court's argument was, Metro Nashville police who hold the full investigative report, it still allows the public to inspect them without running afoul of the law. So maybe not putting it online, but physical inspections is what I'm thinking. It'll most certainly leak out then. The appeals court, they're sending the case back down to the lower court to amend the 2024 ruling. Covenant parents have 60 days to appeal this ruling through their attorney, Eric Osborne. And on that note, let me jump straight to the next story because I want to get to a video story. This next one, also a different school shooting, FoxNews.com. Colorado authorities, where Chief Schultz is at, they are declining to prosecute parents on a gun charge at the Evergreen High School shooting, and the shooter was their son. So Colorado authorities said Wednesday, the same day this other story came out, that they will not pursue gun-related charges against the parents of the teenager who wounded two students, both of whom sustained life-threatening injuries during a shooting at that high school last fall, citing insufficient evidence. That's the reason. So it gives the parents' names. They give the kid's name, the kid's 16, not going to give the kid's name. Evergreen High School, Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, they're the guys involved in it. And it said that there was a Smith & Wesson 38 special, and it said that it was kept in a locked gun safe. And authorities said the DNA testing also failed to link either parent to the weapon. Some other information that we don't have, but we do know that the gun was apparently a family heirloom, and that the kid, the 16-year-old, did not have regular access to the safe. So no charges for the parents. So on that note, commentary, Chief Schultz.
Well, I hate to attach too much politics to both of these issues. You know, there's a suspicion that because it was a trans shooter in Nashville and a Christian target, that the politics of it just, we didn't want to talk about it and want it to go away. And I don't know. I'm not a big fan of prosecuting parents for the school shooting things. There's a lot of debate about that, pros and cons. I would probably guess, though, here in Colorado, if that was an AR-15 instead of an old-fashioned wheel gun, somebody would have been prosecuted.
Okay. Interesting. Well, thank you. Well, guys, if you're ready, let's move on to a story with a video. I know Chief Ralph's ready. Let's move on to a story with a video component. This next story is going to, you know, we've got 5 minutes and 40 seconds. It may take a lot to unpack this from Dallas Police Department. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. This Is Butter is actually on Rumble right now conversing with us. Dallas Police released video of a shooting that injured three people, including the officer and a grandmother.
Mama, they're here. Mama, they're here. Mama, they're here. He in there with a gun.
What's going on?
He's in there with a gun.
Open the door.
Tommy,
police! Police!
Gun, bro!
Stop.
Drop the gun!
What the fuck?
Drop the gun. Are you okay?
What the fuck, Tony?
Sir, get outside. Outside. Get in here!
What the fuck?
Keep a gun on him.
I got him.
I know, ma'am. I'm sorry.
The fuck? My switch. Come on, baby. Turn on my switch.
So officers respond to a call at the Millhouse Apartments around 9 o'clock p.m. According to investigators, 10 people are inside the apartment, and the suspect starts threatening others with a weapon. Police arrive. They find the suspect barricaded in the bathroom with a woman. And it says that, now this is the chief, Daniel Comics, talking, saying, we heard a female say from inside the bathroom that he has a gun. So, and there's other references to a female complainant. So female in the bathroom, doors closed. She says he's got a gun. When police enter the bathroom, The gun was immediately, gunfire was immediately exchanged. Two people end up being struck by gunfire, and they're currently recovering at a hospital. Now, that is in addition to the officer who got struck in the ballistic vest. He's okay, but actually, you know, three people got shot, including the cop, and he's going to be fine. Police have not said yet who fired first or how many shots were fired. They also did not state if any attempts at de-escalation were made. I threw that last statement in because, I mean, we're talking about Dallas. In the very last statement, they did not state if any attempts at de-escalation were made. Like, that's a thing now. It's just, it's so unfortunate that people reading this are going to think, well, yeah, that's right. They have to de-escalate now. We're in Dallas, Texas, and we're not even in California or Washington State where I would expect maybe a statement like this to be reading, but let's go to my show notes real quick. It happens pretty quickly. If you start watching the 1 minute, 35 seconds in there, this is when the officers are responding to the gun call. And this is where the woman's talking from inside the bathroom, but the door is closed. At 1:54, officer kicks in the bathroom door. So that's just like 20 seconds later. And the door opens and there is a gun visible and shots are fired almost immediately. And the officer retreats down the hallway, but he's got, now it's a hallway, and there's the door on the right. As you look into the body cam, is the bathroom, and that door has been kicked open by the cop. And there's an open area leading to a family room or living room on the other side of the hallway. And you see the gun sticking out of that open doorway from the bathroom a couple times, but then you see it come out, and the person who ends up being, in my opinion, a female, charging across the hallway briefly with what appeared to be a gun in her hand, and the cop opened fires. I suspect he hit her, at least at that time, if not before, too. She goes into that room. That gun apparently falls on the ground because the cop advances in the bathroom. He sees he's got the bad guy is down. He's been shot. He picks up the gun that was dropped, presumably by the female that's in the room behind him. He goes in that room, apologizes to her, and they're treating her for gunshot wounds. So that's what it looks like, at least to me. The officer was shot in the ballistic vest, but there's not a lot of explanation in the report or in the story about what happened. So that said, 2.5 minutes, Chief Ralph.
Well, first of all, you know, you listen to the dispatcher when the call came in. I know our dispatchers are trained when we have a situation like that, where somebody potential hostage barricade. With the dispatchers, we say everybody else who's not our suspect or a hostage, everybody exit the house or the apartment. Okay, number one. Number two, the officers get there. If it would have been me, I would have said, you and you, Mr. and Mr., not hostage and suspect, out of the house. And then Ralph Ornelas, with his silky mouth, right, would say, hey, buddy, what's going on inside there, man? Can we talk about this, right? Get a feel of it. And if he says F you, or, you know, take a walk, Jack, right? We got a barricaded suspect. And we handle it. We call up, we surround the place, we evacuate other places. I got to tell you something. That officer, Bozeman or McCollum, they allow the emotions of the guy down the hall, the son and the husband of one of the daughters, influence their emotions. I got to be honest with you, Chip, and you could say I'm wrong on this, and Joel too. I would have never kicked that door. I don't stand in front of a door where the guy who's got a gun on the other side of it, okay? And he kicked the door. He immediately shoots as soon as that door, because he saw the gun in the guy's hand, you know? So, you know, I think that the whole tactics of that was really poor. And I think Dallas PD, as I go back, I did last week, Chip and Joel, if you're watching, you got to go back to training. You got to go back to, you know, because
basics.
That was not handled. And let me tell you, last night what I did in preparation for this, I called two FTOs of the LA County Sheriff's Department. I sent the video. I said, these are my notes. Am I wrong? Am I right? You guys are still out in the field. They go, sir, you're 100% though. You're 100% right. That was poorly handled.
Chief Schultz. 23 seconds.
Well, in the end, the cops did de-escalate.
Well, that's true.
They did.
And in the arc of things, you know, it ended. And we don't talk much about collateral damage in police operations because it's not allowed, but stuff happens.
No, You're right. And you're right. There were civilians and there were several. There were civilians. So many. We could have had a dead cop if he wouldn't have been hit in the ballistic vest. So very good points, Chief Ralph. I'm glad you pointed that out. There was no woman screaming for help. She was verbalizing he had a gun, but there was nothing like she's being attacked or she's going to imminent, you know, harm or anything like that. So good points. Hey, it's been a great show. Thank you so much, Dr. Joel Schultz, and also Chief Ralph Ornelas. Wow, you guys, it's always energetic when you guys are on the show. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD. We had that glove challenge. If you want to win a free pair of the gloves, go to thewoundedblue.org, go under the events section, enter that contest, type in either my name, Chip the Block, or Travis Yates' name for the contest in order to win a free pair. And it'll explain it, how they do there. Yeah, shout out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. We'll see you guys back Monday, 12 noon Eastern.